Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us new life and hope. He has raised Jesus from the dead. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Faithful One, whose word is life, come with saving power to free our praise, inspire our prayer, and shape our lives for the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Welcome. Welcome one, welcome all, to this service of morning worship. It's good to have you joining us today, wherever you're joining us from. And I'd like to start, actually, by reading, before we have our first hymn, I'd like to read a poem. It's a poem based on Psalm 133, which is the psalm for today. How very good and pleasant it is when people live together in unity, when forgiveness oils the wheels of relationships, when kindness is the currency, when understanding is the language that is learned, when issues can be aired and faced honestly, when friendship is nurtured above differences. How very good and pleasant it is when people live together in unity, when food is shared and bread and wine bring us together, when we find in Jesus there is no rich or poor, privileged or marginalized, when hope and peace wash away grudges and the desire to get even. How very good and pleasant it is when people live together in unity. It is indeed good and pleasant to live together in unity. And as Christians, we come together now in unity and joyfully sing our opening hymn, Jesus Christ is risen today.
Oh,
We come before God now to make our confession. Let's just have a moment of silence as we reflect on the events in our own lives over the last week. Christ died to sin once for all, and now he lives to God. Let us renew our resolve to have done with all that is evil and confess our sins in penitence and faith. Like Mary at the empty tomb, we fail to grasp the wonder of your presence. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Like the disciples behind locked doors, we are afraid to be seen as your followers. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Like Thomas in the upper room, we are slow to believe. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for today. Risen Christ, for whom no door is locked, no entrance barred, open the door of our hearts, that we may seek the good of others and walk the joyful road of sacrifice and peace, to the praise of God the Father. Amen. And now we listen to our first reading.
A reading from 1 John, starting at chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I always think of John as being the most spiritual and even esoteric of the disciples, particularly when you consider the beginning of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Yet in this, his first letter, he's trying to teach in a very different way. Yet even then, he can't help writing a little mystically. He talks of that which was from the beginning. He's not referring to Genesis here, nor creation. He's going a lot further back. He's referring to God. But just when you think he's yet again becoming mystical, he changes everything. He says that which was from the beginning, he has seen in the flesh. He has physically touched, heard, and seen this being in the form of Jesus. He says that he is not using hearsay, that which others have told him. He's not using conjecture. This is no traditional story, or even a great myth that he is relating. He is speaking of that which he has known personally and physically in the real concrete world, his own personal experience. The implications of what John is saying here are phenomenal. He is telling us that we too can have this personal experience. Later, John explains Jesus has issued an invitation to have fellowship with him, just as he, John, had. This fellowship is a combined fellowship with both God and with others who are in such fellowship. Now, this is important because it's made clear that it would be very difficult to be in true fellowship with God and not in fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus himself required one or two to gather together in prayer. And while it is important to pray and to communicate with God alone, it is also vital to have some kind of fellowship with others too, even if it happens to be virtual. Many may find it difficult to think of their relationship with God as being of a close personal nature. After all, he is God. They may prefer to think of him as a wonderful, distant King of Heaven, something which he is as well, of course. But according to what John tells us from what he has heard and seen, this is not what God wants. Jesus was a physical being, human as well as God. And John is telling us that it is this kind of human, close relationship that he wants and requires. Now, this can be quite alarming, because those who know us best also know our faults. Yet, if they are true friends, they love us in spite of those faults. This whole concept of close relationship with God would have been new and revelatory with John's original hearers. But it really shouldn't be with us. We have had 2,000 years to come to terms with this and what it means for us. We are all bound in this incredible fellowship with our fellow Christians and with God in Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all with the same degree of personal closeness. At least, we're supposed to be. The which brings us to one of the last things John is talking about in this section of his incredible letter. Sin. I would hope that we are all aware that we are all sinners. John speaks of those who say they have no sin, and I find it difficult to think of anyone I know saying or thinking that. We are full of sin and continually falling short of the who and what God wants us to be. The word sin comes from an old Hebrew archery term and means to fall short. This does not belittle the word, it merely helps to explain it. We are intended to walk in the light, but this does not mean that we have no sin. We are continually being cleansed by the grace of God. John compares our state with God to walking in darkness or walking in the light. We may be a good person and still walk in darkness, for we may be out of fellowship with God. But equally, if we are in fellowship with God and walk in the light, it doesn't mean we are free from sin, because of course we are not. What brings us freedom from the darkness is maintaining contact with God. Trying to do physically what we know God would want us to do. Listening for God and testing what we think he has told us with our fellow Christians. Being aware of not just what we do wrong, but when we have failed to do the right thing. And saying sorry to both God and to others and meaning it. Trying to change what we do or don't do. Nobody ever said that this would be easy, but if we are able to remain in fellowship, we have a good chance of remaining in the light. Amen.
Lord of all, Lord of all. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your willingness to give yourself for us, that you bore our sins on the cross, and that you defeated death and demonstrated this by being raised to new life and showing yourself to your disciples. We thank you that it was your love for us that made you go through all of that. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the world in which you have set us, a world which contains so much goodness and beauty, and yet a world that we find it so easy to mar and to destroy. Help us care for that world, for all of creation, looking at ourselves to see how better we can change our habits such that this world is protected, that its beauty and its resources are available for those who follow us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your church, for all who lead us, for the archbishops and our bishops, our Bishop Libby and Archbishop Designate Malcolm. Pray that you will be with them and guide them and show them how they are to lead us forward in what will be difficult times for many. We pray for Kate, our own priest, and for all who minister in this place, recognizing that actually we are all ministers to one another and to those around us. So encourage us, strengthen us, guide us, lead us, help us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our communities, for those who live around us, for the schools in our parishes, for all those who will be going back to school soon. We pray that you will be with all who lead and teach, all who care for others, for all who show your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray particularly now for those who are unwell, whether in body, mind, or spirit, for those in hospital, for those ill and suffering at home, for those who are worried about the future, about how things will pan out, how they will continue to live their lives in view of perhaps continuing restrictions. Be with all who are worried and all those who care for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, we remember those who we have lost, those who have gone to be with you. At this time, we particularly remember Her Majesty the Queen and members of the royal family on the announcement of the death of Prince Philip. We ask that you will be with her as she mourns the loss of her lifelong companion, and reassure and strengthen her and uphold her. We give you thanks for their lives, for their example, for their love. And although we suffer because we have lost them, they suffer no more. So comfort those who are bereaved and be with us all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we conclude our prayers by saying together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. And now we're going to sing another hymn, Thine Be the Glory.
Thank you again for joining us in our morning worship today. It's been good to have you with us, and we hope you've enjoyed the service. Tomorrow sees lockdown easing a little more, and more of us will be able to go to the shops and have our hair cut. And we hope that in the not too distant future, we'll be able to see more of you in person in our churches. But if that's not possible for you, Then please don't worry, we are going to carry on with these podcasts for the foreseeable future. So join us this way if you're able. And now for our closing responses. For all that God can do within us, for all that God can do without us, thanks be to God. For all in whom Christ lived before us, for all in whom Christ lives beside us, thanks be to God. For all the Spirit wants to bring us, for where the Spirit wants to send us, thanks be to God. Christ has promised to be with us in the world as in our worship. Amen. And we say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.